right. Next week is Rosh Hashanah, as you all know, the beginning of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and we added the Shemoneh Esrei, a few insertions that everyone's familiar with. We added in the first three brachos, Zachreinu Chaim Melech Alei Tzvachayim, to Kosreinu B'Sefer Chaim, and then we added into the next bracha, Yichamocha Averachim Zachay Yisrael Chaim Berachalim. And at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we added other things also. So I just want to go very briefly into the halachic aspects of that. It's not so pushy that you're allowed to add those things in. The Gemara says in Brachos that it is usher to add in anything to the Shemoneh Esrei. La'olam al yishal adam tzrachav lo b'shalosh rishonos v'lo b'shalosh achronos. The halacha is, from the first in the Gemara in Brachos, that it's usher for a person to ask for his needs in the first three Brachos and the last three Brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. So Tosfos asks the kasha right away, so how do we add in all these things? There's an asking, Zachreinu l'chaim, right? Kasveinu b'sefer l'chaim. So Tosfos right away on the spot asks the kasha, how can we do that if we're not allowed to ask for our tzrachim? And Tosfos answers, he brings down a paigon, and all the Rishonim bring this answer down, that says like this. He says, Ayishol adam tzrachav lo begimlos rishonos lo begimlos achronos. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel v'Rav Haigon, dafka lo yachir, aval tzrachei rabim shoalim. So Rav Haigon says that Tzorchei Rav Meshani, since everything we're saying is plural, Zachreinu is plural of Kasreinu, everything that we're asking for is Tzorchei Ravim, therefore you are allowed to add in to Shon Esrei. That's the answer of Haigon. But even that's not so partial, because Tosfos at the end, he brings Rav Haigon's words, and he says, V'teida, Rav Haigon brings a proof, and he says, V'teida the dafke yachid ka'amar, and I'll prove to you that it's dafka. The Gemara is dafka talking about a yachid that he can't add in his tzrachim. Sharei ikar brachos achronos tzrachei tziburim. He says if you look at the last three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, we do ask for tzrachim there. Right? V'sechazena yineinu v'shuv chol tzion berachamim. We ask Hashem to bring us back to the Beis Hamikdash. We say sim shalom to bring peace upon us. So we see there are bakoshas for Klal Yisrael. So that's the raya that Rav Haigon brings, that we could add in anything will be tzrachei ravim, because we see the haraya, the Gemara says it's aser, and we see even the Shemoneh Esrei itself, we ask for tzrachim. So some want to bring a raya that it works very nicely in the Lashon of the Gemara. The Lashon of the Gemara says, La'olam al yishal adam tzrachav. A person, a yachid, an individual, shouldn't ask for his needs. But it's mashma, that if it would be for the rabbin, it would be permissible. So that's what Rav Haigon says.
The raya was from Sim Shalim?
The raya is from the last three brachos there. It says,
But those are, that's how it was set up. But you can't add on that.
Right, but
you can't add.
No, but he knows. His point is the way. I believe that his point is that the way Shemoneh Esrei was set up, as we'll get into, is that the first three brachos are shvach, are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The middle 13 brachos are to ask for our bakashos, and the last three are for us to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're proving already that the three that are set up, and therefore the Gemara says you're not allowed to add in any trachim, the first three and the last three, because it's not for trachim. So it says, we see it is for tzrachim. We see tzrachim rabim is permissible there. It's not a problem that it's only because of the hodah, because you see there are tzrachim rabim there.
Morad atol.
That's in the middle. Morad atol. That's a haskara. That's mentioning that Hashem does it, but it's not. That's a shvach to Hashem. That's not a bakasha. That's the same talamater is the bakasha. That's the middle Shemoneh Esrei. So anyway, so there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. How far to take this? So Tosos seems to be saying, and the Rosh says, that even though we bring the raya we bring is from the last three brachos, that you could extend that to the first three brachos, right? The raya that Rav Haigon brings, that the last three brachos receive bakashos, so we could also add into the first three. That's what he says. And the Rosh even goes further, and the Rosh says, that even though the first three brachos are supposed to be a shvach to Hashem, he says there's no bigger shvach to a melech than for the rabbin asking their needs from him. He says that is a shvach. The fact that the rabbin are showing that they need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the biggest shvach that there is, therefore that would be permissible. But there are other Rishonim, just some halacha maisa, obviously we say it, but I'm just saying that it's not so kosher, because even the Rashba brings down from some Rishonim that even though we say it in the last three, those would be permissible, the first three would be usher to do it. And that's how some post compassion that's usher to do. It's Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. But we pass on the ma'aser that we air in all these requests on the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Now, the last time I was doing Rosh Hashanah, which was 10 years ago, so
the
I
are they bakashas, or they could just be asparas as well?
No, they are bakashas. Zachreinu l'chaim is remember us for life, because they know Sefer Achayim and write us in for life. It's clearly a bakasha.
Yeah, but it's not a specific bakasha. It's more of a general that just like we talk about who what he does. he does good things, you know.
Right, but they were not asking for those things. You're right, we're not asking for those things. But here we're clearly asking. The Sefer Chaim, Bracha, V'Shalom, Parnasa, Tova, we're going through all gory details of what we want, so it's clearly a bakasha that you're asking from Hashem. When I was learning Rosh Hashanah last time, I noticed that the Ran in Rosh Hashanah brings down the same answer, says exactly this. He says, brings up from a different Rishon, but he says, Afagad Raminon lo yishal odom tzrachav lo b'sholosh rishonos v'lo b'sholosh achronos nogu lo markein l'fishet tzrachi rabim him. We're knowing to say it because it's tzrachi rabim. But I noticed, this is the Ran over here on Daf Ches on the base in Daf Yehavrif in Rosh Hashanah, and the last line on Daf Tes Amar Aleph in Rosh Hashanah, on the same page, you see them both at the same time, I read a line in the Ran, and I was bothered by Bikasha. He says, "Vavinu malkeinu nami kevan shehu sheelas tzrachim v'shavis lo hetiru la'amro elo biyom akipurim shehu shask mardin sheim lasha ve'emasai." Says the Ran that we don't say Avinu malkeinu on Shabbos. We don't say Avinu malkeinu on Shabbos. It's asking for your tzrachim. He says the only exception will be Yom Kippur because it's mamish the chasima in lasha ve'emasai. If not now, when are we going to ask for it? So we have no choice. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in general, you will not say Avinu malkeinu on Shabbos, and that's how we're knowing. So as Baal Vayakasha, if we see two places where it's usher to ask for bakashos, we see in the first three brachos and the last three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, you can't ask for bakashos, but we say Tzorchei Rabin permits you to ask for your bakashos. So why, when it comes to Avinu Malkeinu is plural also. The whole Avinu Malkeinu, go through every single one, it's all plural, no personal bakashos. It's all Tzorchei Rabin also. Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu, right? The whole Kasveinu, everything is Avinu Malkeinu. It doesn't say Avi Malki, it's Avinu Malkeinu. It's all plural, so why don't we say on Shabbos also, that even though Shabbos is usher to ask for your own bakashos, but when it comes to Tzorchei Rabin, it should be permissible.
I thought it was more awesome because of what they discussed, because the people got killed, because Hashem, that was the reason why it's usher on Shabbos, not because of bakashos.
Yeah, but I never actually heard that, that's interesting. Okay. But he says, Avinu Malkeinu Nami, Kevan Shu She'ilas Tzorchem B'Shabbos, he clearly says that the reason is because it's She'ilas Tzorchem. And it could be others say that reason, it would be a different shot. But according to this, it's mamish the same reason why it's usher to add in anything to the first three brachos, and we permit it during the Aseret Mechuvah because it's Tzorchei Rabin, so Avinu Malkeinu should be no different. We should also say it on Shabbos, even though it's usher to ask for bakashas on Shabbos, but Tzorchei Rabin is different. This is the kasha that I had. And I thought of a teretz, and then I saw afterwards, way back when, that that Rav Avadia Yosef in one of his svarim, quotes the, who does he quote? He quotes the Rivash. When I look at the Rivash, I couldn't find it. I don't have either Sefer, but I looked at the Yeshiva Rivash, I couldn't find where it is. But,
You're asking from the first three brachas?
Yeah.
It's two different things. On Shabbos, it's not Yom Tzara. It's not a day made for Bakasha. But during the week, it's a day for Bakasha. It's just an Isser to add things.
What do you mean it's not a day for Bakasha?
It's not Yom Tzara.
What do you mean it's not a Yom? What do you mean?
That's why there's no Smicha school or Tfilah.
So you're getting close to what I wanted to say. You probably remember this. I stayed on a Thursday night Chaburu when you were there, I think, 4 years ago. But
if we don't say Avinu Malkeinu for that reason, why do we say the things on Shabbos?
What do we say? What? Oh, so that I'm going to get to also. That's a good question. Now, because you're asking a good question, if we don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos, so how do we say Shizachrein, or why do we say that on Shabbos? So I want to be Mechalik. Before we get to your question, I want to be Mechalik between Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos and adding in Zachrein during the Aseret Mechuvah, the first three brachos like this, that the reason why it's usher to ask for your tzrachim in the first three and last three brachos is because the Anshei Knesset Agdolo, when they set up the Shemoneh Esrei, they set up, like we said before, in a certain format. The first three brachos, you praise Hashem, then you ask for your needs, and then you thank Hashem. So the same people who set up the Shemoneh Esrei, they said it's more important to ask for tzrachim rabim and override the normal order. Meaning normally we say you should praise Hashem first and not ask for your needs. But if it's a tzrach of the rabim, if it's for everyone's needs, the Klal Yisrael needs it, so that will override the order that we set. So that's the reason why it's usher. The reason why it's usher is just because that's the order that Chazal decided to set up how the proper way to ask something from a melech is. The proper way is to first praise the melech. But if it's Tzorchei Rabim, like the Rosh says, that the Tzorchei Rabim is the praise, so then if it's for the Rabim, then you'd be allowed to do it. Mashiachin on Shabbos, which Shuli was alluding to, I don't think he said it exactly, but on Shabbos, the reason why we don't ask the Bakashas on Shabbos is because Shabbos is a day that we're supposed to view that we don't have any needs. All our needs are taken care of. That's why on Shabbos it's usher to talk about your business. You're not supposed to look at your fields and see what work needs to be done. You're not supposed to do that because on Shabbos we're supposed to have no needs. It's supposed to be a purely spiritual day with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, learning Torah and taking care of spiritual things, and all our needs are taken care of. If you view the Isser of She'ilat Tzrachim on Shabbos, that we don't have Tzrachim, so what does Tzrachei Rabim mean? There's no Tzrachei Rabim on Shabbos either. So there are no Tzrachim on Shabbos. On Shabbos we have no problem. On Shabbos our problems are put aside. There are no Tzrachim on Shabbos. Mela, there's no reason that you have to add in Tzorchei Rabim, because there is no Tzorchei Rabim on Shabbos. The only kasha then is left with Yankee's kasha. If so, that there's no Torah called the Rav on Shabbos, so how do we say it's Zachayin on Shabbos? I think the answer to that is that we see by benching that many poskim say that you shouldn't say the harachamot, you shouldn't say the last part of benching, but you shouldn't ask for bakashas on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that we can do it, because since that's the setup of the benching, you don't have to change it. So I think when it comes to the Zachreinu, the Nusach HaTfila that Anshei Knesset HaGdolah set up for the entire Aseres Mechuva, they change the Nusach HaTfila, and that's the Nusach HaTfila. Comes a Shabbos, you don't have to change it. It's a Nusach HaTfila. Masha'enkin by Adinu Malkeinu, you can't say it's a Nusach HaTfila for Aseres Mechuva. It's not part of the Tfila. It's a separate Tfila that each time you want to say it, you have to consider. Am I allowed to say it today? I'm not allowed to say it today. Something that's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei that Chazal said, this is part of Shemoneh Esrei, so now it's like saying any part of Shemoneh Esrei. Like we say, El Kain Netzor Lashoni, that's part of Shemoneh Esrei. We say it on Shabbos. So the Zachreinu, once we're saying it's for the 10 days of Aseres Mechuva, we're going to say it, so even on Shabbos we're going to say it. Mashenken Avinu Malkeinu, it was never instituted as part of the Tefillah, it's a separate Tefillah that we say when we're allowed to say it. If we're not allowed to say it on Shabbos, so we're not allowed to say it on Shabbos. That's all the halacha that I want to say. I want to move on from here. But I brought this in because I want to focus in more on this Tzorchei Rav, and that's what I want to discuss, this idea. There's an interesting medrash in
I think this comes up with Shafiyot by the Nashim, and they light neighbors, and then you come home and they
kiddush again.
Shaila is, could they say Amen in the Shafiyot? I believe I asked, and the answer was they could, because that's the nusach that became the nusach of kiddush, even though they were yotzei ready with their. Yeah. I'm not
paskening
here, but I know that same.
Right. No, I've heard that Shiloh, they should say it or not.
They should say it or not, because later they're going to say Kiddush.
Otherwise, it'll be a Hesek. If they already
know
Yotze,
they should be saying Amen.
You say it's not a Hesek, because that's Kiddush was set up with a. No, because they're Yotze with the Bar Pragafen, so they can't talk till the person drinks, and now they're going to talk, so they lose the Bar Pragafen on the drinking. Shkayach. Shkayach al Basha. Fine. So again, I wanted to focus in on this idea of a tzarech rabin that overrides the nusach atfilah, this tzarech rab nishani. So I want to go into a little bit of this idea of the rabin of the tzibur. There's a medrash that I saw in Dvarim. It says on the pasuk that we say very often in Tehillim, "Vani tfilasi lecha Hashem eis ratzon." So David HaMelech was davening to Hashem that in his time of tfilah should be an eis ratzon, and Hashem should accept his tfilah. So the measure says, I don't have the exact words, the measure says that David needed an Eis Ratzon. He would have to ask for an Eis Ratzon because he was davening the Yechidus, he was davening by himself. But one who's davening with the Tzibur, it's always an Eis Ratzon. That's the measure says, it's always an Eis Ratzon. The difference in davening with Yachad and davening with Tzibur is that the Yachad, you need to bespal that it should be an Eis Ratzon. Mashiach, when you're with Tzibur, it's always an Eis Ratzon. And Rechaim Volozhin goes further, and this is a famous word that Rechaim Volozhin says, I never knew it was Rechaim Volozhin, so I quoted in his name, but he's the one who says the idea that when a person, and this is what I want to focus on a little bit more, that when a person davens v'yachidus, so a person has to have kavana. Hashem is analyzing his tefillah because he's the only one davening. Mashenkin, if a person is davening in a minyan, he's davening with a lot of people, so then even if a person doesn't have kavana, so he's, so to speak, swallowed up with the tzibur, and his tefillah will be accepted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he doesn't have kavana, because that's the koach ha-tzibur. Before we get to Rosh Hashanah, Gabi Des Lekuda, I found a very interesting balatur in the Parshas Vayetze. The pasuk says, when Yaakov had the dream with the angels going up and going down, it says, Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso, vayomer achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. Says Yaakov woke up from his sleep and he said, now I know that there was a Hashem in this place and I didn't realize it before. So the Baal HaTurim says that the Sofei Tovos, the last letter of the first four words in this pasuk, Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso vayomer, is tzibur. In order, tzavi, vayikatz, Yaakov is a base, mishnaso is a vav, and vayomer is a resh. So he says the Sofei Tovos is tzibur, and then he says, this is a quote from the Baal HaTurim, Loma she'ein tfilaso shel adam nishmas ela b'tzibur. See, for me, this is a remez that the tefillah of a person is not listened to except if it is b'tzibur. Sam Arkasha, I actually asked for the kafan this morning, that it's a very nice remez of the Baal HaTurim, just this is a side point, but why is the Torah being meramez to us the idea of davening b'tzibur, dafka in this place, when Yaakov was by himself and having a dream, dafka in this place, the Torah is being meramez to the chashivas of davening b'tzibur. That's not Makasha, but you see the same idea. No, but he says that's a pshat, that he woke up, meaning tzibur, and achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. That's why, because of the tzibur, that's why it was Hashem here. What tzibur was there? So I thought maybe the malachim, I'm not sure. But Kaplan's thinking about it. But Nogei L'Rosh Hashanah, I saw an amazing Zohar quoted. The in the Navi in Malachim when it talks about Elisha and the Isha Shunamis, so Elisha used to go visit this place and he would stay by the Isha Shunamis. He would stay there and she took good care of him. They used to give him food and a place to stay. So one time he said to her, he wanted to ask if she had any requests that he should bring to the king. So the pasuk says like this: Hayesh loch davar el hamelach o el sar hatzava. Do you have anything that you want to bring to the king or to the officer of the army? And she responded, Besoch ami ani osheves. I'm sitting amongst my people. So the Zohar explains what this conversation was. He says, first of all, that it was Rosh Hashanah. This conversation was happening on Rosh Hashanah. And he says, the Dabar al HaMelech al-Sar HaTzavah is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He came to the Isha and he said, since it's Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom HaTzfilah, do you have any request that you want me to personally, I'm a Navi, that I'll bring straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And her response was, B'soch HaMi Ani Yosheves, I don't want to be singled out. I don't even want a Navi Hashem to bring my tefillah to Hashem. I'd rather be, B'soch HaMi Ani Yosheves, I'd rather be amongst the Tzibur. The same idea that when a person is davening b'yachidus or has a personal request that goes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu again is analyzing it to see, you know, if they have kavanah, if they deserve it. Mashiach, if a person is amongst the tzibur, so they're so to speak swallowed up by the tzibur.
Who would the sign
to love me? Yeah, no, he doesn't explain that. But when I first read this, so I thought that the Lashon of Besoch Ami Ani Yosheves is a little deeper. I don't think she was just saying from the Lashon, and then I found a little bit of a riot from what Rosh Hashanah Wasserman says. But it just sounded to me, Besoch Ami Ani Yosheves wasn't the idea that a Novi came with an offer to pick a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she says, no, I'd rather be with my minion. It sounds very much from the Lashon of Besoch Ami Ani Yosheves that I'm sitting amongst my nation. It sounds much more than just I'm dining with the minion. It sounds much more like a certain kind of achdus, that a certain kind of a group, not just Stam, but a bunch of people that are gathered together. And then I actually saw a Shurmach on last week's Parsha, and nothing to do with this. I happen to be looking in his Sefer, and he quotes that B'Shem Rav Chanan Wasserman, that the difference between a Goy, which is a nation, and an Am, is a Goy is just separate people that will be in one location. They're in a place, like Goy Echad Ba'aretz, so that it's always a focus on the land, on the place that they are. And an Am is wherever they are, but they're joined together in their purpose. That's what an Am is. So that's what an Am is. That an Am is when everyone's joined together. So you can put that very nicely in this pasuk. He doesn't bring this pasuk. But Besoch Ami Ani Yosheves is not the pshat that she's just saying, oh, I want to stay with my minion that I daven with every day, a different minion. But rather, I want to stay with my tzibur that I have an achus with, that I have a certain relationship with these people, and I'm sitting with them, I'm settled with them, and we're mamish ol team. These are the people that I want my tefillahs to go up with. This idea that she's saying that on Rosh Hashanah, I think a few very interesting things come out of this Zohar. That she's saying that even on Rosh Hashanah, when it's a Yom Tefillah, she didn't want her bakasha singled out. I saw brought down that Rav Chanan Wasserman used to go over to the Gabbai in his yeshiva before Rosh Hashanah, and he would ask him b'dafka not to give him an aliyah. And they explained to him, it's brought down on Shulchan Aruch, that there's an inyan to get an aliyah on the Yom Naran. It's a big inyan that if they're auctioning it off, so the person should pay a lot of money to get it, because it's a big school or whatever it's for, but there's an inyan to do it. So he said, what's the pshat? So he said, I don't even want my name mentioned on Rosh Hashanah. I'm afraid of the din. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. Hashem is judging the world. So why do I want myself to be singled out? Hashem is going to be analyzing myself. I'd rather be swallowed up amongst the tzibur. But my friend, I once went on a tshuva drasha, brings a beautiful mashal for this idea. He says that that there was once a boy that was in law school. And in law school, obviously, they have big lecture halls with many students. There were 200 people in the lecture hall. The teacher didn't know who anyone was. And they were in the middle of taking their final exam. And the teacher announced that when the time's up, you put your pens down. If you don't put your pen down, I'm not taking your paper. So he gives them a warning, 10 minutes left. And everyone's still writing. Then he says, okay, time's up. And he sees one boy all the way in the back, one guy is still writing. He says, excuse me, sir, I told you that when I see the time's up, you put your pen down, put your pen down right now, I'm not taking a paper. And he basically ignores the teacher, continues writing. Everyone else is bringing their papers down. And he says again, I told you, put your pen down. He said, I'm coming. Fine. He says, don't bother, I'm not taking a paper. As everyone's lining up to bring in their papers, so this guy comes down following everyone. He waits till everyone else leaves. And then he brings his paper up, and the teacher says, I'm sorry, I told you I'm not going to accept your paper. So the guy looks at the teacher, and he says, do you know who I am? And the teacher says, I don't know who you are, and I don't care who you are. And then the guy says, do you know who my father is? He says, I don't know who your father is, and I don't care who your father is. And as a reference says, as the guy proceeds to lift up half the papers, stick his paper in, put it down, and he runs out the room. Says that's the idea of being swallowed up by a tzibur, that Hashem doesn't look who you are, he's not analyzing who you are. If you're amongst the tzibur, so that's a special protection. So I think just, I want to go into other things, but just to pause here for one moment, and a couple of things that come out of this idea of, basically from the Zohar, the Isha Shunamis, that B'soch Ami Ani Yosheves. So again, like we said before, it's not just the idea that when you're coming on Rosh Hashanah, It's not just that you don't want to be singled out, but you want to be amongst a group of people that you're a group with. It's not the word that you walk into a different shtibel, every Shabbos different shtibel, you happen to be in one shtibel in Rosh Hashanah, there happens to be a minion of 35 people there, but it's the idea that a person is supposed to be in a makom where he's besoch ha-minion yosheves. That's the biggest protection of all. The person is amongst the people that he learns with, that he davens with, that he has a certain achdus with. So then Hashem sees, not only does he see not individuals, but he sees an achdus. If there's a minion of 35 people, they all have no shaykhs to each other, so it may have to that Hashem views it as one cohesive unit just because they happen to be davening together. I think if it's more of a community affair, that people are getting along properly, people are part of chaburis together, so then Hashem looks at it in a much better light. I think also we can explain based on this a very big question that everyone asks when they're younger, and could be some people continue asking when they're older, and that is that we know Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem is deciding what's going to happen to us for the next year. Who's going to live, who's going to die, as we say in davening, parnasa, health, everything's decided on Rosh Hashanah. So people a lot of time get frustrated, they come into shul, and they start davening, they look through the matzer, and there's nothing that you can put in any personal request. There's no request. So we're just praising Hashem, mamlech Hashem, it's very nice negunim, but it's a little bit frustrating if you want to ask Hashem for parnasa, you want to daven for parnasa, you can daven for parnasa, there's no way to do it. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, people always asking, can we put it in at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, like on a regular day, what should we do, where do we put it? But I think we see from here the board is that we don't want to ask a personal question in Rosh Hashanah. Like Rav Chanan Wasserman said, he took it a little bit further. He says that he doesn't want his name mentioned in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, it's a scary day. It's a happy day on the one hand, it's a scary day on the other hand. But it is a Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin is everyone's being judged. If I have a request from Hashem, I need a certain need that I want to ask from Hashem. So if I'm going to ask for it on Rosh Hashanah, so Hashem's going to say, okay, let's analyze your deeds. And unfortunately, most of us are not going to live up to the requirements that Hashem has for us of what we should be doing. So we don't want to be taken out personally to see, oh, do you want a new car? Well, let's see if he deserves a new car. So I think most of us don't deserve new cars from Hashem's eyes. I don't think we're on the level that Hashem thinks that we're doing so great that we deserve these things. So we don't want to be singled out to ask for our tzrach on Rosh Hashanah. But rather, the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah is fakir. Like we're saying now, is to be part of a tzibur and to be mamlech Hashem. And I think, what does that mean to be mamlech Hashem? I was thinking the other night, and I think this is a nice chat, and I don't think I ever heard this, but that the same way that we said before, that the way Shemoneh Esrei is set up, when you want something from a person, what Shemoneh Esrei is set up is the first three brachos are praising Hashem, and then the middle is you ask for your needs. The proper way to ask for something, if a person wants to go to the father and ask for a raise and allowance, or he wants to ask for a new bicycle, so if he just always asks for things, but he has no shaykhus to his father, so his father is more likely going to say no. A person who has a shaykhus with his father, who is makir, everything his father does for him, or a person, right? A person wants to get a raise from his boss. A person's makir that his boss treats him properly, and he thanks his boss for things that he does for him, and he has a karsa tov, and he praises his boss. I don't mean in the negative way, but in the proper way, he develops a proper relationship, and then he asks for something, it's more likely he'll get his request. The person who's just constantly asking, so the boss doesn't want to hear from him. So the same way, that's what Anshei Chesed Gadol had in mind, that the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, we don't ask for anything, we just praise Hashem. We praise Hashem, and the first three brachos are so important that the halacha is that at least in the first bracha, if you don't have kavanah, you have to go back. All of the brachas, if you don't have kavanah refa'inu, you're totally losing off, you're not paying attention, you're 100% fine, you're yotzei Shemoneh Esrei. The first bracha, lemaisa, if you don't have kavanah in what you're saying, so you're not yotzei, you have to go back. Halacha lemaisa nowadays, the only reason we don't go back is because we don't know how to have proper kavanah anyway, and if we go back, we're not going to have kavanah the next time either. So we don't go back. But really, Nekir Adin, if you don't have kavanah in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, which is not asking you, it's just praising Hashem, you have to go back. That's the main thing. The main thing is praising Hashem, is developing that relationship before you ask for anything. So I was thinking that we could say that Rosh Hashanah is the same thing with the rest of the year. The same way that Shemoneh Esrei is set up, that you have the Shvach in the beginning, and then you ask for your Tzrachim later on, it could be that Rosh Hashanah is Mamash that I did. We're developing the relationship with Hashem. We're being Mamlech Hashem, we're being Makir in Hashem, that you are the King, that we are nothing in comparison to you. Every single thing that we have is totally on you, our health, our parnasa, everything is totally on Hashem. That's what it is. We're being Mamlech Hashem, we're declaring Hashem the King, that Hashem is the All-Powerful, every single thing that we have that we need is totally in Hashem's hands. But mainly once we do that, we develop a proper relationship from Hashem, and we're makir what Hashem's place is, what our place is, and how we are klapei Hashem, so then we can go throughout the year and we can start asking for things from Hashem, because now we have a certain relationship. To go up on Rosh Hashanah, which is starting a new year, and say, I want this, I want that, I want that. Hashem doesn't want that, and we don't want that. So I think that, again, there's two reasons why we wouldn't ask for bakashas. One is because we don't want to be singled out, because we don't necessarily deserve it. And number two, that's not the way you ask for something. First, you develop a relationship. And when the year starts, and we want to be re-machazik our relationship with Hashem, so we have like the first three brachos on Rosh Hashanah, that we mamlech Hashem, it's cool praising Hashem. But that's what it is, not just singing Hashem, melech, Hashem, melech. That's what it is, Hashem is the King, meaning we could have kavanah in that Hashem is the king, and my health that I had this past year was only because of Hashem, and the parnasa that I had this past year is only because of Hashem, and we could just be makir tov for everything that Hashem gave to us in the past and recognize from Hashem. So the melo, we're becoming closer to Hashem. Not that Hashem needs us to declare Him the king. Hashem doesn't need it. It's for us to realize that Hashem is the king, and then the melo we can feel comfortable as we go throughout the year. We can start asking for bakashas based on that. Just to go on to one other idea about tefillah, take us one step further. Rosh Hashanah, there's an amazing word by Yisrael Salanter. I always heard this idea, but I never heard the word that where it came out of. The pasuk says in Parshas Hazinu, "Kel amuna ve'in avel tzadik v'yashahu." That Hashem is a trustworthy Hashem, and the ain avel is not crooked. Tzadik v'yashahu is righteous and straight. So Yisrael Salanter asks a great kasha. He says, "What a praise to Hashem! If the ain avel, Hashem, you're not crooked. That's a praise to Hashem. Hashem is not crooked." A great praise. Hashem, you're not a thief. What kind of praise is that to Hashem? So Rasul Salata explains an amazing thing, which we all heard, but I don't know if we all knew it was from here. He says, when a person's in court, and a person, let's say, a person cheated on his taxes, on his personal income taxes, he got caught with a lot of cheating, and he has to go to jail for 3 years. So the guy deserves to go to jail. But he has 7 children at home, and they want to have their father. So the kids come to the judge, and they say, "We understand he cheated, but we had nothing to do with it. We need our father at home." And the wife says, "I need my husband. We knew nothing about it. It's not fair." And the judge says, "I'm sorry." And then his business partner says, "You know, he's the computer genius. I need my computer genius. I can't run my business without him. And his taxes that he cheated on was his own personal. It wasn't from the business. Why am I responsible? I'm not responsible." And the judge says, "That's just the way it is. He cheated. He has to go to jail. I'm sorry, whoever it affects." So that could be so that our Kaddish Baruch Hu is different. When Hashem judges, not only does Hashem look at the person that's being judged, Hashem looks at every single person that's going to be affected. Before Hashem decides to make a gzeira on a person, that Hashem, he should lose his money or whatever should happen to that person, he doesn't look at him, he looks at his wife, looks at his children, looks at his community. Anyone that will be affected by what's going to happen to him, Hashem takes into account. He says, that's the pshat, kel amuna ve'en ovel, because that's the pshat, ain't ovel to that person, ain't ovel to anybody. The guy who's he gets the to Yad Eliezer and he goes to an onion Excel who has no shaykhus to, but if that person doesn't deserve that, he should lose his $50 a month or whatever he gives, so then that person can save him from his gzeira ra. That's what it means, ain't avil. Then nobody will have a negative effect. This person will not have a negative effect. It will affect anyone in the world that doesn't deserve it. We see a similar idea. I saw brought down in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that in Rosh Hashanah, kol bay olam oven lefanav k'nei maron, that we all pass by Hashem like sheep. And it says, v'kulam is skarim v'skira achas. And everyone is, skira is the paint that they used to do on the every tenth animal. They blew mice behem and they would paint it. So the Gemara says they're all painted with one slab, painting, whatever it is. So in Rashi says over there, afal pi sha'ovrin zachar zeh. So it sounds like a stira. The Gemara says everyone is judged together, everyone's painted together at one time. And Rashi says, even though the Mishnah says they all pass by one at a time. Well, if they're passing by one at a time, they're not all being judged at the same time. So it seems to be like a stira. So they say the pshat is the same idea. That even though they're passing by one, as each person is passing by, everybody's being judged. Who's everybody? Meaning everybody that will be affected. This person's judgment is told on everyone that he has shaykhus to. So much so that Eli Apian said the following, Kedai la'adam la'hargos lo yididim v'o'avim v'ayidei kach yuchal li'natzal b'yom adin. If Eli Apian says, in preparation for Yom Adin, besides extra learning we want to do and to work on our davening and our tzedakah and our tshuva and all these other things, is a person should try to make as many friends as he can. The more friends you have, the more shachas you have to people, the better chance you have of not having any bad things happening, because that one person that you develop the shachas to, so if that person doesn't deserve you getting punished because he'll lose that hello from you, he'll lose that friendship from you, so you'll be safe from the punishment. I saw an amazing, amazing voice. I saw this in Parshas Devarim, again in Rosh Hashanah. I happened to see this. A kasha that we showed him asked, but he gives a great shot. Devarim Aleph Lamed Zayin. The beginning of Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them a Musar Shmuz, so Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about the Meraglim. So he goes through Aleph Lamed Zayin. So Lamed Zayin is the... But as he goes through like 20 psukim, giving a Musar Shmuz, Moshe Rabbeinu says like this, Gam bi his anef Hashem biglalchem, Hashem also got angry at me because of you, Leimor saying, Gam ato lo savo sham, you also will not go there. Yeah? Yeah, it's in the middle of the parasha of the Meraglim. He's telling Klal Yisrael that you got punished as a Meraglim, that they weren't be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And I also got punished because of you, because of the Chet Meraglim, that I won't go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishonim asked, it's not Rishonim's kasha, the Rishonim just gives an answer. The Rishonim asked, that's not true. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael is not because of the Meraglim. The pasuk sounds like, also I got punished because of you, because of the Chet Meraglim, not to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's not true, because he hit the rock. That's why he got punished not to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what's he talking about here? The Rishonim give different answers. The Rishonim explains beautifully the same idea. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, like we always learned, because he hit the rock, he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael would not have been chote by the Meraglim, then he would have been allowed to go in their Zechus. It says in the parasha over here, it says that you didn't listen to me. It says that, yeah, Vayomer Aleichem, I said to you, lo, ta'aretzim v'lo surim behem, don't do it. And you didn't listen to me. And it says, v'davar hazeh einchem ma'minim b'Hashem elokeichem, and you didn't listen to Hashem, and therefore you got the punishment. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in essence, is telling them is that I would have gotten, I deserved my punishment because of the name Meriva. But if you would have listened to me and not to the Meraglim, and you would have been zochah to go to Israel, so my punishment would have been uplifted because you would have needed me to be your leader. But the second that you didn't listen to me by the Meraglim, and you showed you didn't need me as your leader, and you went ahead with the chet, and you weren't zochah to go to Israel, so Mamela, I wasn't, now because of the name Meriva, I wasn't allowed to go in. But you would have saved me from my own ish. It's mamish the same idea, that even if a person is worthy of getting a punishment on his own accord, but if someone else needs him, if Klal Yisrael would have done the proper thing, and they would have needed Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader in Eretz Yisrael, so then Moshe Rabbeinu's punishment would have been uplifted. It's mamish the same idea. Now, I think Nogei Lano, Lagabe, this idea, that obviously Rav Eli Lapian is saying, is that, you know, people, a lot of say that it's this idea of the Rabbin Tzrichim, where people say, oh, you have to start a tape library, you have to start like major things in order to have that the tzibur needs you. You have to start a major organization to be needed by people. But I think, like Rav Eli Lapian says, it's not the pshat. The pshat is that, again, like the same idea that if we're in a small community that Baruch Hashem is still of the size, that everybody can say hello to each other and be friendly to each other, and everyone has a shaykhus with each other, so then if everyone can develop a shaykhus with everyone around here, so that's a kiyum. It's not just a matter of what you do for everyone, but it's not if everyone that you see is saying a Shabbos to, so then if a gzeira has to come on you, and that person's going to miss that good Shabbos with a nice smile, and he feels good when you come over to him, so you might be saved a punishment because of that person. So for every person that we start developing a little more of a shayachus to, by even just saying hello, by smiling, obviously doing chesed for another person, anything more that we can do for the community, so the better it will help us. And I just one point I asked Rabbi Kaufman, another kasha that I had, that this vort's always brought down, that if it's gzeira, let's say that a person's supposed to die, and someone else doesn't deserve, so let's say he gets tzedakah to a person. That person needs the tzedakah, so he'll be saved. But I said, can it work against you also? Let's say a person's supposed to strike it rich. Let's say he has to win the lottery this year, win $5 million. And I'm friendly with a certain person, but I always help out that person. And that person doesn't deserve it. So now I'm not going to win the $1 million because I have shackles to that person. I mean, we always bring it down that you'll be saved from death because that, you know, your third cousin will feel bad if you die, so therefore you're not going to die if your third cousin doesn't deserve it. But if I develop a shaykhus with a person, and then I'm supposed to get something good, but that person doesn't deserve having his next door neighbor or whatever having something good because it will help him, so I'm going to lose it also. So he said that. So he said in a chanami. He said in a chanami. So we have to be very careful who we choose to develop the friendship with. That's what he said. He said in a chanami. He said that's the idea of Eila Rasha Eila Shchino, that you have to develop the shaykhus with the right people. I think Baruch Hashem, that's not so nogea in our community. I think in general, well, it's a pretty good crowd that we don't have to be so picky and analyzing everyone's deeds. I think it can only help us in this community that the more people we develop shaykhus with, the more we can give to the community, the more we can help out in any way, so the more we'll be a rabbi and tzrichim, we'll eat of us in a small way, and maybe we'll be zochah to have a tzivah chazim etovah.